Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. This is Robert Woolsey sitting in for Brian Hansen on Brian Hansen Sports and Activities, and I'm delighted to have a couple of folks from Mount Edgecombe High School in the studio this morning. Mark Nance, he's the a teacher there. He teaches robotics and technology. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
And Nick Bowker, a junior from Dillingham, and how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you guys just got back from Anchorage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And you did pretty well up there.
Yeah, we placed third and fourth, and it was really a fun competition because when we went up there, we competed against 4A schools, 3A schools, all the schools in Alaska, not just the 3A schools.
Everybody's thrown in. So,
yes.
So, and I imagine it was pretty tough. So, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I want to cut right to the chase and ask you what you built and how it works, but I think I want to save that for a minute and ask you, Nick, how you got into robotics. What appeals to you about it?
Well, I first got into robotics by I needed another computer credit, so I looked at the list of classes that were available for me to take at Edgecombe, and Robotics 1 was the first on the list that was available for me to take, so I took Robotics 1. I loved it, had a lot of fun, challenging, and the next year I followed through with taking Robotics 2, and that was even more fun and even more challenging than Robotics 1.
So robotics, is it a computer emphasis or is it a mechanical emphasis? What are you... Or is it just kind of a mashup of both of them?
It's kind of both because we have to program the actual robot on the computer through a program called Robot C. And so we could program it to do basically anything we want, from moving around to lifting up an arm. And it takes time, but we get around to it and we solve the problem, whatever we need to do with it.
Okay. We'll come back to that. I want to talk about the problem. But Mark, what about you? You got this program going at Edgecombe?
Yeah, I started this program 3 years ago. Bill Hutton was the superintendent at that time, and he called me in the office at the end of the year and asked if I wanted to teach robotics. And it sounded appealing to me, and so I went off to Carnegie Mellon to learn how to use Robot C with robotics, and came back and opened up the first class that next year. We did pretty good then, too. We took regions our first year going out here in Southeast, and ever since then, we've been a power force here in Southeast and in Alaska.
Power force, I like it. Let's talk about the competition a little bit. You just came back from Anchorage, but we back it up a little bit. You had regionals in Huna. Who were the schools competing back in February in Huna?
Well, we had Ketchikan, Thunder Mountain, Huna, where's one other team?
Skagway.
Okay. And what's a robotics competition like? Is it you are given a test that your robot has to solve? Maybe now's the time to sort of talk about the robot and what it can do.
Well, each year there is a different course that you design your robot to do. And this year, the course was to grab a ring off of a PVC pipe on the edge of the course and transfer it to a center piece, which was a 3x3 rack. And you had to take the ring off the PVC and transfer it to the center piece. And the more points you could get is when you score on the top, and it goes down and down as you score on the bottom.
And how big a ring are we talking about?
It's about the size of a donut.
Okay.
And the arena is about 12 by 12. And if you think of that centerpiece as being like a tic-tac-toe pattern, mm-hmm. You know, 3x3, and it's on either side, so you have multiple ways of scoring. And it stood up, the highest rings were about 45 inches up. And then the lowest ring was about 18 inches off the ground.
Okay. And the robot has to do this all by itself.
No.
No.
It's divided into two parts. The first 30 seconds of the competition is autonomous, which is where the robot does all the movement by itself. And you can place a ring on anywhere on those racks. They have a IR sensor, or actually a beacon, that they place somewhere on the rack. And if you can place a ring on that post, then you will score more points. And then the last 2 minutes of the match is where they do teleop, where the two members of the team control their robot, the driving element and the lift arm or whatever parts of the robot you need to score. And the other part of this is that there are four robots on the arena at a time, two on one team, or what they call an alliance, and two on the other. And they compete, and then the next round, the person that was on your alliance may be your opponent the next round. So you're kind of working as a team against another group of teams.
That's an interesting dynamic, because 1 minute it's your enemy robot and the other it's your ally robot. That's, you can't give up too much, I guess, when you're allies.
Yeah, they have lots of strategy. You have to plan ahead.
Yeah. Nick, describe your robot. What's it made of, and how big is it, and what's it look like?
Well, we made the robot out of a Tetris kit. A Tetris kit is pieces of aluminum.
Think of an Erector set on steroids.
Okay.
And so the Tetris set is made by Lego, and it's really similar to a Lego piece. Like, it's not plastic, but like, you could screw things together and bind stuff. And so our robot was about 18 by 18 at the most. And it had a simple base, and it also had the wheel system that we had on it was an Omni drive. So there was two wheels on one side facing horizontally, and two wheels on the next facing vertically. So the robot can move at a strafing,
like a 45-degree angle. Mm-hmm. It was an omnidirectional, so you could go left, right, forward, back, or spin in a circle on a dime.
Right. And you don't go out and just buy the controls for this at you know, with the set, do you? I mean, do you have to order specialized controls to...
Well, when you get the set from Lego, or actually it's Pitsco that you order it from, they have a... It's like a game controller. Kind of looks like a PS2 controller.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids are really used to that. They're used to that type of the control system that they use for games is the same thing. But what's really interesting is, instead of having somebody else program it and run with it, they have to program it themselves. So they figure out how each one of those joysticks and buttons work.
Okay. Nick, what is the hardest part of the whole robotics undertaking? Is it the programming? Is it getting the thing to do what you want it to do?
I don't really think it's the programming, really. I think it's more of a trial and error with the mechanical parts of the actual robot, because we went through many, many different pieces of gears and servos and screws, of course, because we constantly burnt them out from putting too much stress on them. And we had to figure out ways that we could reduce that stress on each part, so we wouldn't have to spend so much money buying new parts constantly. And so we had to constantly think ahead of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it better.
I think you just nailed it, Nick. The idea in just about any endeavor involving, you know, equipment and machinery is kind of finding that optimum sort of use of the materials and the mechanics and stuff. That must be the big lesson here, isn't it?
Oh, it's enjoyable to watch these kids start off. They come up with these really out-of-the-box thinking ideas, and they start building it to where they want, and they find that, oh, that doesn't work the way I want to it, so how do I rearrange it? And they come up with a really interesting way of fixing it. And you know, sometimes those strain servos and servos break. Sometimes they strain pieces and pieces break. And the idea to keep coming back and fixing it and making it better and keep coming back, going forward with what their new idea is what really makes it fun for them and fun for me to teach, because I really just tell them the basics and they take off and I learn from them.
That is engineering, getting stuff to work. That's really great. Nick, your team was the Iron Braves,
yeah,
right? And you guys came in third, and your companion team, the Titanium Braves, came in fourth. How many players on a team? How many competitors on a team?
Well, this year we had three teams to start out with that went to regions. And so on my team, there was myself, which was the team captain, and Gusty Acocock, he was the lead driver, and Josh King, he was the lead programmer. So after we came back from regions, one of our teams didn't make it to state, unfortunately, and so they joined both of our teams, each of the captain and the lead driver from team 4164, which didn't make it to state, unfortunately. They joined 4166 and 4165, and so there was about four people on each team when we made it to state.
Okay, so you redistributed students at Edgecombe over the two teams that were going to state.
And then 4165, the Titanium Braves, Paola is the president, or not the president, but the captain of that team, which is our first female captain on the team, and she really did an awesome job this year.
Briefly, Mark, before we go, tell us about the First Tech Challenge. This is a pretty broad spectrum of students involved in this whole robotics activity.
Yeah. First is a nonprofit organization that promotes robotics all through United States and the world in general, and they start off in the kindergarten age with what they call Junior First Lego League. And those are little kids that they'll put together a robot to do a simple challenge. And then from there they move to First Lego League, which is elementary school to the beginning of middle school. And they also go through a challenge. And we had a team here last year that traveled over to Juneau, and they did pretty good. And then from there they go to First Tech Challenge, which is what my high school students do. And then there's a more open class called FRC, First Robotics Challenge, which can get corporate sponsorships and spend a lot of money on some really big robots. That has a pretty neat challenge, but that's more for bigger cities and larger areas where they can afford to do that type of competition.
Okay. And finally, Nick, you got your credit. Your computer credit, but do you have the bug? Are you going to do this activity next year as well, your senior year, do you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun. Me and my friends have a lot of good times with robotics, but, you know, it's kind of disappointing when we don't make it as far as we want to, but that just pushes us to do better next year.
Yeah, and you guys have a shot. You could take first. That's great. Well, thanks so much for coming in this morning and talking about it.
Thank you.
Nick Bowker is a junior from Dillingham at Mount Edgecombe High School. He's the captain of the Iron Braves. And Mark Nance is the teacher who teaches robotics and technology over at Edgecombe. And I hope you guys will send us a picture that we can post on our website of your robot.
We can do that.
Thanks a lot for coming in.